are listening to Beating Neuropathy and Chronic Pain with Dr. John Hayes, author of the bestseller, Beating Neuropathy, Taking Misery to Miracles in Just 5 Weeks. Here is Dr. John Hayes.
Well, hi, everybody. Good evening once again. This is Dr. John Hayes. I'd like to welcome everybody to this week's very special edition of Beating Neuropathy Radio. You know, it's a pleasure to have everybody with us tonight, and I do want to make a couple of announcements. First of all, this past week we did launch successfully Beating Neuropathy TV, and you can watch all those episodes, which are made live every Thursday at beatingneuropathy.tv. Of course, you can still get our radio shows, podcasts, twice weekly articles, etc., through our mobile app, which, of course, is available in the Apple Store. That is actually called Beat Neuropathy and Chronic Pain. And it's a great tool to have on your smartphone if you don't already have it already. But without any further delay, the topic of tonight's discussion is going to be something that's extraordinarily common, and it's also extraordinarily common in people that suffer from peripheral neuropathy, and that is a syndrome called RLS, or restless leg syndrome. It has a couple fancy medical names. Probably one of the more common ones is what's called nocturnal myoclonus. So in any event, RLS, or restless leg syndrome, is a very, very common syndrome. There's a whole lot of information that is available about the syndrome itself, and as you look at the literature, you'll find, much as I found in the clinic, is that very often when the patients have or develop restless leg syndrome, oftentimes it's secondary to another underlying medical condition. And in my experience, the two most common medical conditions that are associated with restless leg syndrome, first, of course, would be peripheral neuropathy, but also patients who have chronic spine problems, spinal stenosis, degenerative disc disease, and even on a shorter term, type situation, patients that are suffering from acute lumbar disc syndromes can sometimes suffer restless leg-like symptoms. In any event, what I'd like to do is to move on through the first part of tonight's program and talk a little bit about what RLS is and who it occurs in and what seems to aggravate it. As we spoke at the top of the hour, restless leg syndrome has a couple of medical names. The most popular is what's called nocturnal myoclonus. It's sometimes simply abbreviated and called RLS, or akathisia. Now, restless leg syndrome occurs very often in middle age and older adults. And if you think back to what I said a moment ago about the populations that it's most common in, you'll see why this is true. You know, it is middle and older adults, of course, that suffer the highest degree of things like spinal stenosis, peripheral neuropathy, and other disorders such as diabetes. The cause in many medications is not known. Of course, that's the official word, but I will tell you that I do believe that if you look hard enough with virtually any condition, you can find a likely underlying cause. And the reason I mention that is just like in peripheral neuropathy, the closer that we can get as a team to your underlying diagnosis, the more efficiently and the better we're going to be able to treat your condition. But there are also some other cases or other conditions that are associated with RLS. And some of these include kidney disease, especially if it's chronic or long-term. Iron deficiency is very, very commonly associated with restless leg syndrome. And iron deficiency in adult is usually of very considerable concern. It's not simply a matter of finding out you have low iron and taking more iron. You've got to find out why you've got low iron. The most significant cause and the more serious cause, of course, it could be internal bleeding. So it's important that your physicians embark upon a search for why your iron may be low. And there are, of course, some other biochemical reasons why that may be the case. But it's something to be aware of. And if you are iron deficient and you can determine the underlying cause, or you can safely treat with supplemental iron and monitor it, you might find that this alone is enough to cure the restless leg syndrome. RLS is also very common in patients that suffer from diabetes and peripheral neuropathy. As you probably know, about 60 to 70% of patients who have diabetes will go on to develop peripheral neuropathy, so it's no surprise that restless leg syndrome is associated there. Also, restless leg syndrome can occur in pregnancy, probably for a variety of reasons, just like it can occur in patients who have debilitating conditions, whether short-term or long-term, that are confining them to bed rest. And generally, the less movement you're getting during the day, the less physical activity, the more prone you can be towards night cramps. And, of course, the converse is true, too. Excess activity can make one prone to night cramps as well. There are also some other things that have been associated with RLS, and this includes medication withdrawal. In other words, if you've been on a long-term sedative medication, withdrawing from the medication has been associated with RLS-like symptoms. And even coming off of other medications such as lithium and caffeine with associations of high caffeine consumption. In other words, withdrawing from caffeine is something that really can create quite a bit of havoc physiologically and can cause one to develop restless leg syndrome. So that's something you want to be aware of if you or a loved one are having restless leg-like symptoms as you're withdrawing from high amounts of caffeine. Lower amounts don't really seem to pose a problem. When we come back from the break, what we're going to talk about next is what are the symptoms? In other words, what are the things that most people who suffer from restless leg syndrome commonly experience? Once again, you're listening to Beating Neuropathy Radio, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Are you one of the 20 million Americans suffering the misery of neuropathy? Many people just like you have discovered there is now very effective and affordable treatment for diabetic post-chemotherapy shingles and other type of neuropathy and chronic pain. The unique Neuropathy DR program was developed by Dr. John Hayes and is now being used by many doctors and physical therapists around the USA. There are lots of patient resources for you at neuropathydr.com. But the best news of all, now you can talk directly to Dr. John Hayes by calling 781-659-7989 24/7 and schedule a neuropathy analysis by phone or in person for yourself or a loved one free of charge. But hurry, you must ask today. Don't forget, call right now, 781-659-7989, while neuropathy analysis slots are still open. That's 781-659-7989, 24/7.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. John Hayes. Welcome back. You are listening to tonight's episode of Beating Neuropathy Radio. And tonight what we're talking about is a very common condition, a condition that is associated often in diabetics and patients that suffer from peripheral neuropathy, and that is restless leg syndrome. At the top of the hour, what we were discussing were the actual incidence and risk factors of restless leg syndrome or for restless leg syndrome, including things such as iron deficiency. One thing I didn't mention is that people who suffer from Parkinson's disease can also have restless leg syndrome. We spoke about kidney disease and iron deficiency and withdrawal from certain medications. But let's talk about some of the more common symptoms. The most common symptoms in patients that suffer from RLS would include a sensation that usually occurs at night, but not always. If you sit for a long period of time or lie down for a long period of time during the day, you can experience some of these symptoms. And patients will commonly prescribe them as crawling, aching, pulling, and sometimes much more severe with words like searing, bubbling, etc. So these symptoms are very commonly reported. They can last for an hour or longer, and sometimes they can also occur in the upper leg and, of course, the feet, and even similar symptoms can occur in the arms. It's also really important to understand that most patients who suffer from restless leg syndrome have one thing in common, and this is really key. And that is that if you do suffer from RLS, one of the keys is that when you walk, you almost always will relieve the discomfort and feel better. In fact, it's been described that many patients have an irresistible urge to walk or move their legs. This is very, very common and sometimes will help you actually determine what's going on in terms of your underlying diagnosis. So oftentimes this is how patients will present. They'll say, "Doc, my legs really ache and hurt at night. But I get up out of bed, I walk around a little bit, and I feel better." Now, this also is the type of report that we can have from a patient who's dehydrated, patients who are low in magnesium, and so on. So if it's an occasional phenomenon, I wouldn't be concerned about it. But if it's something that continues night after night, it's certainly something you need to investigate. One of the things that is probably most significant about RLS and something we want to make sure that we talk about here is that RLS, or restless leg syndrome, just like peripheral neuropathy and the other conditions that are associated with diabetes, such as sleep apnea, can cause significant health problems because of the sleep disturbance. You know, it was once said, and it's still true today, that human beings can more than likely die faster from sleep deprivation than any other condition that occurs naturally, such as, you know, starvation or thirst. And that's a very important thing to understand. Our nervous system is so dependent upon proper sleep, both in terms of the depth of sleep and the time of sleep. So when we are deprived from sleep, all types of dysfunction can occur, not the least of which is depression, immune system dysfunction, and so on. It's also important to understand that, like so many conditions, that RLS, or restless leg syndrome, can be worse during times of stress or emotional upset. You know, there's a balancing act here, too, because emotional stress and upset can cause sleep disturbance, and oftentimes I wonder if sleep disturbance itself isn't an emotionally induced condition that can be inducing a patient's RLS or RLS-like symptoms. So that's something to really keep in mind. However, really what we want to do tonight is to talk about some of the most important things, and that is that so often in patients who suffer from RLS is very often a similar workup to patients that we have for peripheral neuropathy, meaning we have to find out if there are any underlying medical conditions or metabolic disorders, and this would include things, of course, like diabetes, thyroid disease, iron deficiency, as we said very early, and so on. But one of the things I want to caution you on is that very often, just like in patients that suffer from peripheral neuropathy, we're not going to find any hard and fast, significantly abnormal studies. In other words, very commonly, patients that suffer from peripheral neuropathy, we can do all types of laboratory studies, and we can do EMGs and nerve conduction studies and find that they're normal or nearly normal. So just because your studies are normal does not mean you actually have the syndrome. But it's also important to understand one of the things that I speak about a lot and one of the things that I teach my physicians and therapists every day is that it is the trend in your laboratory tests and your diagnostics that are really the most important. For example, if over the last 5 years we've noticed that your cholesterol, triglycerides, blood sugars, and so on have been creeping upwards, even if you're on medication, sometimes this is an indication that you could have metabolic syndrome. Metabolic syndrome, as you probably know, because I speak about it so often, is a very common condition, one of the most common health problems of modern times, and it is characterized by abnormalities in how your body processes not only carbohydrates for blood sugar, but also blood fats or blood lipids. The tests for it are relatively nonspecific, but when the clinicians are astute and careful, and we actually take a look at the trends with things such as blood sugar and cholesterol and triglycerides, oftentimes we're able to make the diagnosis. And one of the reasons, of course, that I'm mentioning this is it's just so critical when you do suffer from a condition such as peripheral neuropathy or related health condition like RLS to not get too cavalier in thinking that there's nothing going on, so there's nothing I need to do to improve my health. So we get back from the next very short break, we're going to talk a little bit more about RLS and then focus the rest of tonight's program on some very practical solutions. So hold on. You're listening to Beating Neuropathy Radio, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Are you or someone you love one of the 100 million Americans suffering the misery of chronic pain? Unfortunately, chronic pain patients suffer more than their share of tingling, burning, sleeplessness, and major life disruption. Well, now there is a very effective, affordable clinic and home co-treatment available for many forms of chronic, disabling pain. The unique neuropathy DR program developed by Dr. John Hayes is now being used by doctors and physical therapists around the USA. You'll find more cancer and pain patient resources at neuropathydr.com. This is really good news. Talk directly to Dr. Hayes' Norwell office by calling 781-659-7989 24/7 and schedule a chronic pain analysis for yourself or a loved one for free. But hurry, you must act as these slots are limited. Dr. Hayes will personally help you decide if this approach may work for you, too. Call right now, 781-659-7989. That's 781-659-7989, 24/7.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. John Hayes. You're listening to Beating Neuropathy Radio, and welcome back to tonight's edition. In tonight's episode, we are actually talking about RLS, or Restless Leg Syndrome. And before the break, we talked about some of the more common causes of restless leg syndrome. We spoke about the well-known fact it's commonly associated in patients that suffer from peripheral neuropathy, which is, of course, the reason we're having this discussion tonight. But there are a couple other things that we do want to make sure we get in before we conclude or wrap up tonight's episode, and that is that the RLS is not a life-threatening condition. It's not technically a sign of a serious underlying disorder by itself. However, there are some things that I want to make sure that we emphasize. Number one, if it's disrupting your sleep on a regular basis, it is affecting the quality of your life. Make no mistake about it. So it is something that you should pursue and try to treat the best way possible. Now, I also want to say that there are really no clear-cut one-size-fits-all answers or solution to RLS, just like in patients that suffer from peripheral neuropathy. There's no one-size-fits-all solution. But on the medical side, there are some medications that can be helpful, and we actually recommend you try these last, not first. But the more common medication is the brand name Requip, or the generic name Ropinirole. Ropinirole can be effective at controlling RLS symptoms and is commonly tried. And obviously, the lower the dose, the better. But I do want to revisit what we said in the previous segment, and that is that RLS is very commonly associated in patients that have peripheral neuropathy and diabetes. And one of the more common things that is associated in patients that have diabetes, of course, is exercise intolerance, exercise fatigue, and so on. Well, it turns out that one of the best solutions if you do suffer from not only diabetes but also from restless leg syndrome is exercise. There is some good indication that patients who are more fit and patients who exercise more regularly, of course, we know suffer from less diabetes and less peripheral neuropathy, and also restless leg syndrome. So once the diagnosis is made and you do know for a fact that you do suffer from restless leg syndrome, there are some things that you can do that will commonly be helpful. Number one, of course, is very gentle stretching exercises, and any good doctor therapist can help walk you through this. If you're treating yourself, of course, gentle yoga or hatha-type yoga can be very beneficial. Massage therapy can be very beneficial. Just a word of caution with massage therapy, you obviously want to make sure you're being seen by a trained therapist. Make sure you're going into and concluding your massage therapy sessions being well hydrated. In other words, make sure that you have consumed a considerable amount of water before your session of massage, and then, of course, after massage therapy, consuming extra water can be very helpful too. Also, warm baths, and if you are going to try the warm baths thing, you may want to actually try a tried and true method of helping leg cramps, and that is to add a significant amount of Epsom salts to the warm bath water. You know, you never want to have bath water that's over 100 degrees, but you can actually enhance the results of a warm bath by adding Epsom salts. The fact is, though, you have to add a significant amount of Epsom salts. And don't be afraid to buy the large bags or boxes at your local pharmacy and add a significant amount of the Epsom salts to your bath water, generally for not more than 10 or 15 minutes, and you'll find yourself sleeping better and oftentimes having less leg cramps. And the reason for this is that the Epsom salts are by nature very high in magnesium, and you will absorb some magnesium sulfate through your skin. But one other thing that I do want to mention is that when we have patients who suffer from insomnia and restless leg syndromes, one of the first things that we will actually try is putting patients on oral magnesium. If you visit us on Facebook a lot, you'll see that we commonly prescribe this. It's one of the most commonly prescribed dietary supplements in our clinic for the simple reason that it is the most common nutritional deficiency that there is, and it does work extraordinarily well in many, many people. So here's the prescription. The prescription is for 400 to 800 milligrams of magnesium malate in divided dosages throughout the day. So what does that actually mean? Well, in our clinic, we use 100 milligram tablets of magnesium malate, and we'll give two of these to the patient at a time, very commonly after meals, with the last dosage being prescribed later in the day or after the evening meal, or quite possibly 2 hours before bedtime. Now, for some patients, especially patients of relatively low body weight or patients that have GI issues, 800 milligrams of magnesium is going to give you diarrhea or other side effects. Also, you should never do this without your physician's consent or knowledge, nor should you ever take supplemental magnesium if you have kidney disease. But barring underlying issues like kidney disease, supplementing your diet with magnesium, especially magnesium malate, which is a very easily absorbed form, something that we use to treat patients with fibromyalgia as well, can make a huge difference in how you feel. Also, as we said at the top of tonight's show, if you do suffer from either a short-term or long-term stress-induced situation, stress reduction and relaxation can actually help reduce the incidence and the severity of restless leg symptoms. So again, something to keep in mind, and as I say all the time, there's never an excuse not to induce rest and relaxation into your diet because or into your lifestyle, because regardless of your diet and regardless of whatever else you may have going on, you can find some very, very significant health benefits, not the least of which is stimulating your healing response and your immune response by having proper sleep. And the last thing I want to do is just supplement tonight's show with a couple of references from the literature. There's a really good reference that appeared in the journal called Sleep Medicine. This actually was published in March of 2012 and then revised again in August of 2012. But this study was entitled Painful Polyneuropathy Associated with Restless Leg Syndromes. And basically what this particular article found is that RLS is frequently associated with painful polyneuropathy, keeping with the hypothesis that its occurrence is favored by small fiber involvement. Of course, I'm reading right from the conclusion of the study, but basically what this means in simple terms is that if you do have one of the more common forms of neuropathy, small fiber neuropathy, you are more likely to suffer from restless leg syndrome. So that's a very important piece of medical literature that supports what we're discussing tonight. There's also another really good article that I want to call your attention to. This one actually appeared in December of 2012 in the journal Endocrine, and it was entitled The Relationship Between Physical Activity, Restless Leg Syndrome, and Health-Related Quality of Life in Type 2 Diabetics. And basically what they found in this study, or the conclusion, is that more active restless leg syndrome diabetic patients had a better perception of functional capacity, physical limitation, pain, and general health state. It also stated that in the conclusion that this study shows that physical activity is associated with better outcomes, and thus a more active lifestyle should be encouraged. Well, this, of course, is something that you know about already because you're listening to the show, and also you, of course, visit with us throughout the week on Facebook, and it's something you see us talk about all the time. In other words, being more active, regardless of your underlying health conditions, can really have a huge, huge benefit on your outcomes and how well you do. And one last study we're going to wrap tonight's show up with, this was actually published in a, published in a journal overseas. The title of the article is Restless Leg Syndrome in Sensory Axonal Neuropathy, a Case Control Study. This was actually from the journal Neurology and published in 2012, and the conclusion was that in this particular study, sensory axonal neuropathy may be associated with RLS. In other words, just another medical study confirming that oftentimes restless leg syndrome is associated with patients who have peripheral neuropathy or have a diagnosis of peripheral neuropathy. So that's a very, very important piece of information for you to share with your physicians if they're unaware of it as well. And this article actually appeared in, it looks like, the French journal called Consulte. So in any event, that is our summary for tonight on restless leg syndrome. And I encourage you to learn more about restless leg syndrome. This may be one of those podcasts or radio shows you want to go back and listen to again, because it does have so much information in it. If you do have any additional questions regarding RLS, you can feel free to post them where we answer our questions throughout the week, and this is on Facebook, Beating Neuropathy. Well, once again, it's been an honor to have you invite me into your home or your car, wherever you're listening to tonight's show. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I look forward to joining you on the next show. Don't forget to join us at beatingneuropathy.tv. And also, of course, during the week at Facebook, Beating Neuropathy. So I wish everybody a good rest of your evening, and we will talk to you next week. Good night now.